My guest today, investigative journalist Allison Weir, is a very busy person. In addition to being the founder and executive director of If Americans Knew, an organization dedicated to telling the true history of the U.S.-Israel relationship, and serving as president of the Council for the National Interest, an organization of former diplomats, U.S. diplomats, and members of Congress with a similar agenda. She has found the time to write frequently for Counterpunch and the Washington Report in the Middle East while making numerous speaking engagements around the country, telling the public what the media won't tell you about the U.S.-Israel relationship. Much of the information she put into a small book published last year entitled Against Our Better Judgment, The Hidden History of How the U.S. Was Used to Create Israel, which is available on Amazon. As you can imagine, this has not made her popular with the advocates of Israel, nor have her efforts to inform the American public about Israel's attack on the USS Liberty, which they don't want you to know about, but which we are going to talk about today. I last interviewed Allison in September 2011, in which we discussed the Zionist influence on the media, which she has also written about extensively and which I talk about here. Welcome once again, Allison Weir, to Takes on the World.
Thank you so much for inviting me on your show.
Glad to have you back. You know, here we've had another Memorial Day in which the lives of 34 crewmen of the USS Liberty, murdered by the Israeli Air Force and Navy on June 8, 1967, were once again ignored, and the survivors among the 174 wounded by the military, what we are told is America's greatest ally, uninvited to the celebrations. And things are not likely to be any different when the 48th anniversary of the attack comes around next month. Most Americans are unfamiliar with the details of the attack, and if they have heard anything about it, I suspect it's Israel's response, that it was all a tragic mistake, and that the unfortunate victims were financially compensated by Israel. You spent a considerable amount of your time bringing the truth about what happened that day to the American public. Tell us about it.
It's an amazing story. As you say, most Americans have no idea about it. I grew up myself in a military family, and I had never heard of it. You know, it was so briefly covered in the media that most people missed it. And the ones who, as you say, that do know about it receive the Israeli propaganda rather than the facts. What happened is that Israeli forces attacked a U.S. Navy ship, the USS Liberty. It was an electronic surveillance ship operating in international waters off the Sinai during the Six-Day War to pick up transmissions that were going on from all parties at that time. It was clearly marked as an American ship. It was identified in Jane's book of Navy ships. It had antennas all over the place, so it was flying an American flag. Nevertheless, Israeli forces surveilled the USS Liberty in the morning of June 8th for a number of times. American sailors who were on the Liberty described seeing them and, you know, even seeing the pilots and sort of waving, because they thought this was our ally. Then later that same day, Israeli forces suddenly launched an attack in which they first shelled the USS Liberty. They dropped napalm on it. They used all sorts of rockets and mortars. They then sent a torpedo ship that launched torpedoes at the USS Liberty. When Liberty crewmen were carrying stretcher bearers of wounded men and were dispatching life rafts, Israeli forces then machine gunned the American stretcher bearers and shot up the life rafts. Ultimately, 34 Americans were killed, over 170 were injured, and this has largely been covered up. There were rescue flights that were dispatched to the Liberty twice that were recalled by the Secretary of Defense and by President Lyndon Baines Johnson. This was all thoroughly documented by eyewitnesses at the time, both on board the ship, by other people on board other U.S. Navy ships who described what happened with the launches that were recalled. And this incident has never been publicly or thoroughly investigated. In fact, it's actually never really been investigated. So the survivors all of these years have been calling for an investigation that would always be done routinely. Would usually be at least a six-month investigation of this attack on a U.S. Navy ship, in which the attempt was made to sink the entire ship and to kill everyone on board the ship. By the way, the Liberty crew is the most decorated crew since World War II, and the most decorated crew, I believe, for a single incident for the whole history of the U.S. Navy. The captain received the Medal of Honor, and yet, you know, this would normally be, everyone would know about the ship, everyone would know about this attack, and everyone would support the survivor's right to an investigation, and yet, of course, that hasn't happened. So I'm so happy you have this show and for us to talk about it.
Well, I know the Israelis came up with this cockamamie story that they mistook it for a very much smaller Egyptian cargo ship. But as events come out, NSA recorded Israeli pilots identifying the ship, and they knew exactly what they were doing, and they wanted to sink it. I have one of the wonderful pamphlets you put out called Israeli Attacks on the U.S. Navy and Marines. You have a quote, a couple of quotes from Captain Ward Boston, a counsel to the U.S. Navy Court of Inquiry's investigation, who was ignored. He said, "I saw the flag, which had visibly identified the ship as American, riddled with bullet holes, and heard testimony that made it clear that the Israelis intended there be no survivors," end quote. And Admiral Thomas Moore, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff from 1970-1974, said, "These men were then betrayed and left to die by our own government." That should have been an impeachable offense against Lyndon Johnson, without question. And yet, even his his wonderful historians, the hagiography of Lyndon Johnson, ignores all this. It's an incredible story. And most Americans, when I tell them about it, are shocked. And this is why the Israel lobby does not want that story to be told.
That's right. It's such a significant story because, of course, it demonstrated to Israel that Israel could attack a Navy ship, kill American servicemen in really fairly large numbers, injure the casualty rate for the ship was almost 2/3 of the entire crew. I mean, that is a huge number, that they could do this. And it was a sustained attack. It wasn't a, quote, fog of war, quick mistake or something. It went on for a long period of time. So Israel saw that they could do that, kill Americans in an intentional attack, and get away with it. That then made it clear that they could do whatever they wanted to with impunity. If you can kill American servicemen and yet still get even more money from the U.S. government, then, of course, you can kill Palestinians, Egyptians, people throughout the Middle East with impunity. That was sort of the message. It was the message to the Israel lobby that they were calling the shots. Johnson, when he ordered the rescue flights to these men recalled, said, quote, "I don't want our ally embarrassed." You know, he didn't want it to come out that Israel was attacking a U.S. Navy ship. And so, you know, to him, it was more important to keep the Israel lobby happy than it was to save the lives of American servicemen. You know, if that's not an impeachable offense, I certainly don't know what is.
Well, I know he was thinking of the 1968 elections and the funding for the Democratic Party. Even Admiral Lawrence Geis, commander of the Saratoga, reportedly, when the Defense Secretary McNamara had sent out the planes, and then McNamara supposedly called and had them recall. These are fighter planes actually from the USS Saratoga that might have shot those Israeli planes out of the sky. Geis called back and was stunned at the announcement, and he asked, this is according to one report, he asked McNamara, "Does the president know about it?" And that's when Johnson came on the line and made that statement about not wanting to embarrass an ally. To me, that's a capital offense in terms of what a president can do, not just an impeachable offense. And you've go around the country speaking about, I should say, if you want to see the pictures of the servicemen who died, you won't see them in the New York Times or our national magazines, but they're on your website, If Americans Knew.
That's right. We went to an effort to, you know, great effort to do that because you know, we feel these men deserve to be seen and that people need to see their faces. you know, you see all these young men that were killed, and ruthlessly, in fact, the commission that was chaired by Admiral Maurer, a four-star admiral, former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, you know, their commission finding said that these men were murdered. You know, this wasn't a military engagement. This was outright murder of American servicemen. That is the word used by Admiral Maurer and Rear Admiral Merlin Starring and Marine General Ray Davis. That's the word they used, and it's an accurate one. We wanted people to see their faces. Also, I've talked to two sisters whose brothers were killed, who have been asking for justice ever since. And, you know, that makes it very real to me. I have a brother. I know how I would feel, not only to have him killed, but then have it buried, have it covered up. Have anybody that tries to talk about it, whether you're Jewish or not Jewish, you're called anti-Semitic, for talking about the U.S. festivities. It's an appalling situation that's gone on all of these years. Also, of course, for those of us, and most people are like this when we know the fact, who want to stop the carnage in Palestine, who want to stop the wars like the Iraq War and the, you know, attempted war on Iran that may be coming, that want to start saving lives there as well. The Liberty incident is really pivotal. It's a very important incident for people to know about, and I think has the power to wake people up to what's actually going on there, to the media cover-up, to the governmental cover-up, and to sort of deconstruct the myth that Israel is a U.S. ally. So I think it's important on all these levels to learn more about what went on with the USS Liberty.
Well, earlier, before I called you, I defined the attack on the Liberty as a defining moment in U.S.-Israel relations, because as you mentioned, they could kill Americans and get away with it. They could get away with anything. They've gotten away with stealing nuclear materials. They've gotten away with smuggling. And when it's been made public, even when Netanyahu was identified as being on the recipient in Israel back in 85 of a nuclear smuggling of nuclear triggers, the FBI forgot to redact it. When a frequent guest, Grant Smith, put that out in public, the mainstream media ignored it. It's like they are as intimidated by the supporters of Israel in this country as our politicians. And even the other day, the New York Times had this huge banner headline about the dangers of Hezbollah. It was a non-news story. It was a rewrite of an Israeli army press release. Even the Haaretz called the New York Times Israel's new secret weapon. So, you've written about the media extensively. That was our subject last time, and I talk about it frequently here. But we're very few of us are doing that. Why?
That's right. So few are, and luckily it's growing. I think it's changed. You were doing it, of course, long before I became aware of the situation 15 years ago. At that time, I was like most people who really knew nothing about the issue, was sympathetic to Israel, and, you know, just thought it was a distant, confusing conflict that had nothing to do with me. So that's one of the problems. I wanted to mention, too, when you were mentioning about Grant Smith, you know, look at, we even have, I think it's the name is Arnon Milchan.
Arnon Milchan, right.
Who's a major Hollywood producer who was, you know, a book exposed just a few years ago, and then Grant Smith, I believe, exposed more, that he was connected to illicit transfers of U.S. weaponry, that he was part of illegal activities.
These nuclear triggers I mentioned, yeah.
That's right, exactly. And yet he now twice in a row, after that information came out, was up, when I watched the Oscars, he at a certain point came up on stage and was right up on stage. This is a man who, if it were any other country, would be under arrest.
Well, Hollywood's one of Israel's most important occupied territories as well, because the media, you control the media, that part of the media, you look at television, if you take a position critical of Israel, you're off the air. There's no possibility of that. And you see, actually, it's interesting, M.J. Rosenberg, who was a former staff member of AIPAC, he edited their Middle East report, said that in Israel, articles such as written by Gideon Levy, or even the ones that I quoted from my program earlier this morning, could not be published in the United States. He said the reason is there's no Israel lobby over there. But they,
that's a good point.
Everyone laughed. It was that there is no possibility for a mainstream columnist to tell the truth about Israel. And even when a pro-Israel columnist like Tom Friedman wrote in 2011 after the Congress had given Netanyahu 29 standing ovations in his first joint session after he had just insulted President Obama, Friedman said that Congress is bought and paid for by the Israel lobby. But you won't hear that on Democracy Now! Or NPR. You won't even hear a discussion of the subject. It's a taboo subject among the so-called progressive movement and even the solidarity movement for the Palestinian people. It just is something people are so afraid of bringing up. And to bring it up, as you found yourself and I found myself, being accused of being anti-Semitic, self-hating, whatever, when the fact of the matter is this is important U.S. policy. And I tell my listeners here that the reason I preoccupy myself with it is that what I tell them is not reported in any other form in the mainstream U.S. media or in the alternative media for that in terms of television or radio. So you've had this experience.
Exactly. I mean, I found that the minute I started talking about it, just giving facts about what I had seen and experienced on my own trip to Gaza in the West Bank in early 2001, in the middle of the Intifada, you know, even when I just gave that specific information, I was immediately called, quote, anti-Semitic. Now, you know, as at that time, I knew very little about the Israel lobby. I know now a great deal about it because it's huge, not just an elephant in the room.
It's a hotel,
you know,
not a lobby.
It's a Tyrannosaurus Rex. That's right. It's, you know, it's so significant that it really takes great effort once you're paying attention to this issue. It must take just enormous effort to not see the power and significance of that special interest lobby. And you know, as soon as I would even answer a question from someone, well, why do we have these policies? And I would say, you know, the very simple statement that special interest lobbies drive a lot of policies, and this one is driven by a special interest lobby on behalf of Israel, then immediately, even by some people allegedly working on, you know, for the Palestinian issue, at least we're opposing the occupation, you know, then they would sort of whisper, well, that's an anti-Semitic contention. You know, it's an absurd accusation. That's why it's often usually just whispered, not made outright, but, you know, this is what's going on, and the effort is to hide information that we all should know. This is an extremely important issue. We all know it. It's causing massive damage and enormous tragedy throughout the Middle East, and it is exposing Americans to danger ourselves because we are supporting policies that are immoral, that are destructive, that are unjust, that are suicidal. And these, you know, when you cause damage to other people, eventually they will cause damage to you. That's how the world works. So it's extremely significant. And, you know, that's why I think both of us keep working on it. You know, we could work on other issues that are also extremely important and not get called the nasty names that we get. But those of us that are willing to work on it, I think, are required to keep doing that and to just, you know, my view is journalistic. The people have the right to know the facts. These facts are known by Israelis. They're written about in Israeli news media. Americans have the right to know them as well.
My guest is Alison Weir, and whose book I strongly endorse, Against Our Better Judgment, The Hidden History of How the United States Was Used to Create Israel. It is available on Amazon and probably, I don't know if bookstores could order it, but it's the kind of book that if it was in the bookstores, you would have people wanting to ban it. This is one positive thing about Amazon, that books are available there that independent bookstores would take risks in putting on their bookshelf. That's the sad state of the situation in the United States today. We've just had, we keep hearing about shared values between Israel and the United States. One is perhaps contemporary international law and public opinion. But certainly we see the Israeli elections, that we have new Israeli ministers, one had called for genocide against the Palestinians during last summer's war, saying the mother should be killed because they ate little snakes. She actually had put on her Facebook page an article by an extreme right-wing Israeli racist calling for essentially extermination of the Palestinian people because they're all the enemies. And one of their new ministers calls Palestinian beasts. And if this was said about Jews or any other people by any of the Western government, it would be headlines in the U.S. press. But you don't read about it here, and you don't hear about it here, because of the power of this. It's a lobby. It doesn't really have to lobby. It's an intimidator. It's like a Leviathan. Matter of fact, the London Economist once had an illustration on its cover of the Israel lobby as a Leviathan, this giant sea monster, and which everyone who's been in Congress and it gets out of Congress will tell you how powerful it is and how afraid they are to challenge it, because if they challenge it, they get no support from those who should support it. I mean, Cynthia McKinney was railroaded, was the last one. Earl Hilliard in Alabama, they had the temerity to criticize Israel and speak up for the Palestinians. Now the Congressional Black Caucus could be called like a House Negro Caucus because they suck up to Israel. You know, even during the apartheid years, they refused to criticize Israel's weapons sales to South Africa. It is a shame. And even what Gideon Levy, the Israeli writer, said in his speech in Washington in April, what they have done to not just Israeli democracy, what it has done to American democracy, which really should concern us, the American people. Your thoughts on that?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I think what it has done has done deep damage to the United States, because we found that, as you've named a few of them, there's, you know, Paul Finley, Pete McCloskey, Charles Percy, you know, some of us that are older remember Percy and McCloskey were, you know, liberal Republicans who were being talked as
my lawyer,
potential
yeah.
president. You know, these were very popular individuals, the type that are very electable to become president, and they disappeared from the scene, I learned later, because they started talking about Palestine. What this means is that anybody with integrity, a politician with integrity, that would be willing, you know, and therefore, if you have true integrity, you would talk about Palestine as well as other issues, get weeded out. So we're left, you know, with the people who are more willing to sacrifice their integrity serving in Congress. That's not doing our nation a service. You know, we need the best people possible. Now, we know with the political system, you know, that no one can be, quote, pure on every issue that we, you know, we might feel strongly about. But this is just outright, you know, this is just very clearly wrong, no matter what your political ideology is. These are stances that everyone would agree with. It's not a political issue. And yet we lose people like that, and all the rest are corrupted. Well, I better not talk about Palestine. You know, it would be pointless because the lobby is so powerful and the influence in the media is so powerful that it wouldn't be any good. I would just be thrown out for every pussy. But the good news, as you say, is Amazon. My book has now sold 17,000 copies.
That's great.
It's an enormous number. It's gotten over 200 five-star reviews, customer reviews on Amazon. So it's despite the power of this really pervasive Israel special interest group to block things and to stop things and to, you know, manipulate things. Despite that, especially because of the internet, the information is getting out. More and more people are buying my book. I'm now here at the Book Expo in New York City. We'll see if any bookstores are willing to carry it. I think, as you say, that, you know, that's unlikely. If there were a similar book like this on another country or another issue, there, you know, bookstores would be willing to carry it. In this particular case, I suspect most people will be afraid to touch it. But on the other hand, most readers don't seem to be afraid to read it, are reading it and are finding it extremely interesting. So, you know, there's some hope here. We have a little bit of power to get around the very powerful parties who in the past have blocked all sorts of issues. you know, the internet is certainly changing the game today, and I, you know, that's extremely a healthy situation.
Until they find a means of controlling it. But as I say, without the internet, our mainstream media today, both on the air and in print, is as controlled and useless as it has ever been in my lifetime. I tell my listeners here, the reason I'm preoccupied with, when I do my introduction commentaries, with this subject is because no one else reports what I'm reporting on, and it's not some deep, dark secret that I've pulled out from under a rock. It's available, and it's available to news media, but they choose not to publish it or broadcast it, because to do so is to run into trouble, particularly on the bottom line. There are some people who are very dependent, like politicians, on funders. And if those funders, like Israel, and many of them do, you're going to see the broadcaster, even if they're a public icon, just not take the chances because they don't want to offend. And there are so many other stories that can be reported on that people want to hear, but they do not have the same impact on American policy that this issue has. I mean, we had a war in Iraq orchestrated by the neocons, had to set up their separate office in the Defense Department to fabricate the evidence for the weapons of mass destruction. You had Pearl and Wolfowitz, Douglas Feist, Lou Libby, all these characters. It was like a takeover of the U.S. government, and then putting the same kind of characters in the Treasury Department to put sanctions on Iran. It's like an invasion of the body snatchers. But it's somebody like George Orwell or Jonathan Swift or Lewis Carroll needs to write a book about it, because it's like Alice in Wonderland.
I agree. You keep seeing this Orwellian situation, you know, that really those are the authors, the only authors that could really do it justice, I think, more than journalists, you know, would be that kind of writing. It's just appalling, you know, that these are not, you know, what you and I are discussing today are facts that are very knowable. You know, this isn't in the realm of, well, theory and, well, maybe this is true or that. They've all been confirmed. You have high governmental officials, from the director of the CIA to the Secretary of State to high military officials, all saying that Israel intentionally attacked a U.S. Navy ship. This isn't, you know, that's unknown. The fact that we give Israel over $10 million per day is right in the Congressional Research Service report. This is easily known, important information that should be in the media. And yet, no one ever hears it, because the media across the political spectrum leave it out almost all of the time. And I think that's one of the things that shocked me when I started to look into it. You know, we're used to, sadly, various types of cover-ups by the government, by the media. But this one spans the political spectrum. I expected that my usual sort of progressive sources would cover it, were covering it, would be working on it. I had not been politically active, certainly nationally. When I became, you know, aware of this, I had been raising children and was just a local journalist with local issues. And I thought, well, certainly, you know, the progressives and that type of people will be working on it, and they were not. And I thought, well, certainly the conservatives who care about money and would be concerned about so much U.S. tax money going abroad, you know, that they would be talking about it. But most weren't. You know, that also was captured by the Israel lobby. The traditional conservatives, I found, were and still do talk about it in a very factual, often very, very knowledgeable, helpful way. But now they've been pushed almost out of the media. So, you know, this was a very different kind of situation than I've seen on other issues.
Allison,
I don't have to find anything exactly comparable.
There's nothing comparable. It's an extraordinary, I mean, as I say, I quote Israeli author, I mean, Gideon Levy writing in Israel says, it's unbelievable that a prime minister of another country could come into the United States and embarrass the president and be worshipped by members of Congress. Netanyahu is essentially the Republicans' president. And this would, he says, this is the United States of Israel. Now, if you try to say that here, you try to say that, you'd be called anti-Semitic. But the thing is, over there, they don't worry about that. They worry about being killed by or attacked by some fanatics. But at least you find in Haaretz and occasionally Yehiat al-Hadad the truth about what's going on that cannot be published and won't even spoke. You won't hear it on Democracy Now. You certainly won't hear it on NPR, or you won't read it in the New York Times. It's an extraordinary situation, and you are indefatigable. You have, I know you're speaking constantly around the country. I'm sure you're getting warm receptions because when my experience, when I talk to people about these issues one-on-one or in groups, they respond because to the truth.
Absolutely. That's right. Enormously responsive, positive responses all over. Whenever I speak, different audiences, different ages, different parts of the country, different political, backgrounds. Every time there's an extremely positive reception. I think the things I hear most often is I had no idea about this, and then I also hear, what can we do about it? So it's just a matter of somehow getting this information to people, and then all of us acting on it. That's all that's necessary, and I'm very late to this issue. As I said, you were working on it during all those years. I should have known about it. So finally, I'm part of it too. And more people around the country are waking up and starting to be willing to speak out about it factually and honestly.
Well, we're coming down to the end of the hour. The book is Against Our Better Judgment. The author, my guest, Alison Weir. And as I say, it is available on Amazon. Her website is ifamericansknew.org, right?
That's right.
.org, and you could, /liberty, but go to that, and you will see the pictures of the sailors, and go to the website and get more information. There are many publications that Alison has put out, which are fascinating and will get you outraged about the complicity of the United States in surrendering its sovereignty to a foreign country. Alison, thanks so much for being our guest today. Looking forward to talking to you again.
I look forward to it. Thanks so much for your show.